Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another Deen Check. It's me, your brother Musa Abu Bakr. We're out here. We've got another topic for you today. We're going to touch on, we're getting like, you know, a lot of people out here want to take Shahada, want to become Muslim. Some of them have got Muslim friends, been rolling with them for a hot minute. Some of them just looked into Islam and they've been going through this phase, what normally a revert goes through sometimes, of 6 months to 12 months, where you want to take Shahada, but you got a lot of doubts. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Am I mocking the religion? Ain't I mock? Like, you're just questioning yourself and basically you don't know where to go. And sometimes this could be a very hard point and it's make or break. So we thought we'd touch on the subject. What are you saying about it? How are we going
to... No, in regards to, alhamdulillah, a lot of people were inquiring about Islam and a lot of people are messaging us saying that they're interested in Islam, they want to become Muslim and they don't know what to do. So today we decided to make this video so we can give you like a brief illustration, a little breakdown of the things that you need to understand if you want to come to Islam. Now, first and foremost, yeah, a lot of people say, you know what, I don't know if I can pray five times a day, I don't know if I can fast. Before we get to all that, the first thing you need to establish is whether you believe. Because many people, they come and they're like, you know what, I don't think I'm able to pray, I don't know how to fast, but you're thinking too far down the line. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to establish now, whether you believe. Now, if you want to be a Muslim, there's certain things that you have to believe. Now, there's six articles of faith that you need to understand and you need to believe with yakin, certainty, for you to become a Muslim. Now, the first thing you have to believe is, yeah, that you believe in one God, that you don't associate no partners with the Creator, you worship Him alone, you direct all your worship to Him solely. There's only one God, Allah. He hasn't got a son, he hasn't got a father, he hasn't got children. He's not part of His creation, He's outside His creation. So that's the first thing you got to believe. The second thing you got to believe is believe in all the prophets. So we believe in all the prophets, whether it's Moses, Abraham, Musa, Jesus, Isa, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's another condition of being a Muslim that you have to believe in every single prophet. Now, some people might say, oh, you know what, Muslims don't believe in Jesus. This is incorrect, because if a Muslim says he doesn't believe in Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, then he cannot be a Muslim. So that's the second thing that every single person who wants to become a Muslim has to believe. The third thing is you have to believe in all the holy books, the Injil, the Torah, the Quran. We believe in all the holy books. This is a condition of being a Muslim, but as Muslims, we only follow the Quran. But we don't say we don't believe in the Bible. We don't say we don't believe in the Injil, because we do believe in these things, but obviously we know mankind has tampered with the book, and the final revelation to mankind is the Quran, and that's what we follow. Now, the fourth thing is to believe in the angels. Now, you have to believe in all the angels. You have to believe in that Allah Ta'ala created angels and He gave them different missions and different things for them to do in regards to the dunya and in the hereafter. But Allah Ta'ala has created angels and they've got different missions. They do different things. This is another condition. The fifth thing is to believe in the day of judgment. Believe in a day that every single person, the whole of mankind, will have to answer for their good deeds and bad deeds. Not like what the Christians say, that, you know what, Jesus died for our sins. We as Muslims, we don't believe that. We believe that everything I do, I'm gonna be accountable for, and everything Musa does, he's gonna be accountable for. And the sixth thing is to believe in destiny, qadr. To believe in anything will happen, it happened for a reason. The way me and Musa are here sitting there for doing the video, it happened, it was destined to happen. There's nothing we could have done to avoid this. So these are the six things that every single person who wants to become a Muslim has to believe.
So, okay, so if there's someone that he's at home and he's watching this, or she, and she's saying, okay, look, okay, I believe in these things. You know, I believe it, you know, I believe that there's nobody worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I've always believed that there's one creator. I've never really believed in the Trinity and in things like this. You know, I believe in the messengers, I believe in the books. You know, I believe in these six pillars of faith that we've just mentioned.
Yeah.
What's the next step? Because sometimes, you know, you find yourself that you believe in these things, but something's still holding you back and you're not able to take that step.
You know, in regards to that, even I was in that situation, because when I first was given dawah, I believed in all the six pillars of article of faith. I believed in all of them, but I was like, you know what, I'm not ready to change. I'm not ready to stop shutting food. I'm not ready to stop linking gal. I'm not ready to stop raving, smoking. I wasn't ready for that. And that was something that was keeping me back for a long time for me to take my shahada. And subhanAllah, our brother gave me advice one time. He goes to me, listen, at the end of the day, if you believe, then take your shahada. And then slowly but surely you will change. You're not going to change overnight. Everything ain't going to happen in one day. Slowly but surely you start to change. Step by step you start to change. So then what I decided, I said, you know what, if that's the case, then I'm going to take my shahada. Because one of the biggest tricks of the shaitan, he will tell you, you know what, if you become a Muslim, you're going to be a hypocrite. you're going to be of them people who's not going to practice the religion properly. You're not going to pray, you're not going to fast, you're not going to do the things that you're meant to do. But a sinful Muslim is still better than a non-Muslim, because your tawheed, your shahada will weigh heavy for you on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment.
So what we're saying is that having that first pillar of believing in the one true God and believing that nobody deserves worship but Him, and solely devoting and directing your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having that, accepting that, and stating it with the words and in your actions, if you fall into sin and you fall into some of these other issues, but having that makes you better than one that does the same thing but doesn't have that.
Yeah, of course, because at the end of the day, the shahada is massive, and we understand on Yawm al-Qiyamah it's going to weigh heavy on the scales. And we know, even there was a statement, if I'm mistaken, may Allah forgive me, the Prophet ﷺ said that anyone who's got the atom's weight of Iman will enter the paradise. And even Umar ibn Khattab, he used to go around and tell the people, don't let the people know this, because if people know that their shahada alone will be idnillah ta'ala, get them in Jannah, people will rely on that and they'll become lazy. So we know the shahada itself, it weighs heavy on the scales. So this alone, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, we can get you into paradise. If you believe with yaqeen, I mean clear tawheed, pure tawheed. You understand? That's why the sixth article of faith is important, because there's sometimes people become Muslim and they still believe Jesus is the son of God, or they believe God has a son or God has partners. Then your tawheed is invalidated. Your tawheed is not pure. So someone who's got clear tawheed, their aqidah is clear. Even though they sin, they do things that they shouldn't do according to Quran and Sunnah, but idhnillah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will admit that person into paradise.
And all six of these pillars of faith are a chain reaction. You know, you can't have one without the other.
No, of course
not. You
can't
say, I believe in Allah, but I don't believe in the Quran. I don't believe in the Injil. I don't believe in the messengers. I just believe, because a lot of agnostics, this is how they are.
They say,
we believe, okay, maybe there's a creation out there or someone that created something, but as for, then I don't know. So they say, we don't say there isn't, we don't say there is, but so we can't be like this. We got to be clear on our understanding and our acceptance of these six pillars of faith, and then we're saying we have something to start with.
Yeah, and this is the basis, isn't it? Once a person gets past that level, now they're on the path of becoming a Muslim. If someone says, I believe in four but I don't believe in the others, then you can't take your shahada, because your shahada won't have no weight. You understand? It's not going to be a proper shahada. You have to believe in all these six articles of faith with yaqeen, with certainty, and then from there you can take your shahada.
Because what also will happen is that a person might come into Islam not accepting qadr, not accepting these other things, and then this is what bites them down the line. See them turning back onto what they were doing before.
And even sometimes we see these people online, you know, these people who say they were Muslim and they left Islam. Not all due respect, anyone can leave Islam if they want to, but I don't understand how someone can accept shahada and then leave Islam. Someone who understood it from the get-go, like they understood the six articles of faith, they understood it with yaqeen, how can they leave that? How can they then change their mind? It doesn't really make sense. And I believe a majority of the people who, you know, become Muslim and then they leave, I don't reckon they understood the religion in the first place. They didn't understand tawheed, they didn't understand these things. Because if you understand these things with yaqeen, there's no way that you could sway from it.
Yeah, because you might fall into the category where you're a sinful Muslim and you're struggling and you're going through hardships and that, but you would hold on to this, because
the
clarity of these six pillars, there is no doubt in it. You know, it brings so much clarity to your life and to your purpose of life that you're going to hold on to it, whether you're sinful or not. That's another situation, but you're going to hold on to it because it's clear, and it's not only clear, but it's also clear in your day-to-day life, and it gives you purpose to what you're doing.
That's it.
And all your, you know, ambitions and things that you're
at the end of the day, no one can use excuses being sinful to leave Islam, because Allah Ta'ala didn't create us in a way that we're not going to commit sin. We're not perfect in a way that we won't commit sin. We're not the angels. We're created in a way that will make tawbah. That's what Allah Ta'ala says. The ones who commit sin, the best of sinners are the ones who repent. But we've been created in a way that we have to make tawbah. Prophet ﷺ used to say astaghfirullah more than 100 times a day. So we know, at the end of the day, this is part of our religion. Tawbah is part of the deen. So anyone who comes to Islam and like, oh, you know what, I'm too sinful, I'm doing this and all that, I want to leave Islam, it shows they didn't understand the religion. They don't know about Allah Ta'ala. They don't know nothing about Islam, because we know Allah Ta'ala is merciful. And we know that once you make a mistake, you turn back to Allah. And if you're sincere, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you.
Okay, but sometimes now we get some people that say, okay, I've accepted all of these things and I want to become Muslim, but next year, after I do this and after I do that, next week or after my birthday or maybe next Ramadan, I'm going to do it, definitely, 100%. Some people say, I've made up my mind, I'm going to take Shahada, but let me do it next week. You know, let me just wait till my birthday.
What we say to these people is that, can any single person on the face of the earth guarantee me they're going to live to see tomorrow? Can anyone show me proof, evidence that you're going to live to see tomorrow? You're going to wake up tomorrow in the morning? No one. No one on the face of the earth, no one's going to die. And there's a wisdom behind that, not knowing when you're going to die. So for a person who says they believe, don't delay your shahada, accept your shahada. At the end of the day, it's better that you die a simple Muslim than die a non-Muslim, because this is our beliefs and this is our understanding. At the end of the day, you say next Ramadan, you don't know if you're going to live to see next Ramadan. You don't know if you're going to live to see tomorrow. And this is yakin, this is certainty that every single person who's got an atom's weight of a brain, who understands, knows
the
that.
The reality,
you know,
is that when a person looks at the six pillars of Iman or looks at the five pillars of Islam and they accept all these things but don't take Shahada, in reality, once they accept it, they've accepted Islam without making the without saying the Shahada. This is what they want. So in reality, if you've really accepted it, then why not say it? Why not take your Shahada? Why not say your Shahada, become Muslim, if you really believe it in your heart? Because some people say, yeah, I believe these things in my heart, but yeah, I just don't want to become Muslim. What would we say to that?
No doubt. What we say is, at the end of the day, you're not because it takes time, innit? First things first is establishing whether you believe. Once you know you believe, then you accept, you take your Shahada, and you come into the religion, and you start learning more about Allah Ta'ala. You start learning more about the Prophet Sallam, and then you start to change eventually. Come on, when I first became Muslim, I didn't change overnight. When you first became Muslim, it wasn't one day. It was a slow process, but the more you learn, the more you started to change, the more you started to adapt. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you're training yourself. This is not something that you do for 6 months or 3 months, or it's not a course. This is something that we do for the rest of our lives. This is something that we do until we die. So at the end of the day, it's going to take time for you to grasp and get a good understanding of the religion. But slowly but surely, with the permission of Allah and with you seeking knowledge, then, you know, eventually the things that you find you're struggling with, you will change. It's not going to happen overnight. No shadow of a doubt. It's not going to happen overnight. But what we say is that at the end of the day, if you believe, then accept it, testify that you believe, and then be in Allah Ta'ala slowly but surely, then you can start learning more about the religion.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Now we have a person that they take their Shahada, they're Muslim now, but now they get into this issue of they're lapsing, they're going back and forth from Jahiliyyah to Islam, Jahiliyyah to Islam, and they're asking themselves, why can't I start practicing this religion properly? I accepted Islam, I want to be a good Muslim, but I just keep on falling back into my old traits. So this is like the first 2 years, this is 12 months, first 18 months to 2 years, they're just going back and forth from their Jahiliyyah to Islam, back and forth, and they're like, they're trying to look for answers to why they keep on falling back. What are many of the traps that catch a person at this time?
Just before we get onto that, we didn't hit up on the five pillars of Islam as well, because obviously when a person becomes a Muslim, you have to fulfill the five pillars of Islam. Now, the first pillar is taking your Shahada, you accepting becoming a Muslim. The second thing is accepting that you have to pray five times a day. It's compulsory that you accept this. I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight, but you got to accept this. The third thing is Zakat, paying 2.5% of whatever you've earned over a year. There's a certain amount that you have to have for Zakat to be eligible for you. The fourth thing is fasting the month of Ramadan. That you all know about fasting the month of Ramadan. Every Muslim has to do that. And the fifth thing is Hajj, pilgrimage. And only Allah Ta'ala says, the one who can afford to go Hajj, it's an obligation against him. If you can't afford to go, then Allah will have mercy on this individual, and this person will be forgiven and be lifted from this obligation. Now, sorry, I didn't catch the, what was the question that you hit me up with?
No, but after that I said, okay, once a person now, he understands the five pillars of Islam, he understands the six pillars of faith, and he takes Shahada, he's Muslim now. Now he's Muslim, he's having that first year to 2 years of going back and forth, he's just falling, he's still with his man them, she's still with her man, with her people then, they're going, they're raving, they're clubbing, they're smoking, but when they're in these environments, they're like, this is wrong, man, I'm Muslim, I shouldn't. These are the traps that a lot of people face at this time.
Yeah.
What are the main ways to try to overcome these? Like, what little tips can we give them?
The first thing we will say is that no shadow of a doubt, you need to seek knowledge. If you're someone that you say you believe in something, you need to know what you believe in, innit? So you need to be seeking knowledge. Once you accept your Shahada, you need to seek knowledge. Learn about Allah Ta'ala. Learn what Allah likes. Learn what Allah hates. Look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Follow his Sunnah. Follow his companions. Follow the Salaf. These are the things that you need to understand when you accept Islam. Now, the next thing we would say is that, you know, you have to look at your environment. One of the things what helped me was first and foremost, leaving my old friends because I knew they were fitna for me. And they know me very well. They know me very well. They know me in and out, and they know the things I like and the things I don't like. So one of the first things I had to do is leave off my old friends. So we advise the people, not saying that you have to lock off everyone, but if you know that you haven't got the willpower to be around a certain individual and be able to be yourself, and you know they can put peer pressure on you, then you need to leave off these individuals so you can concentrate on your religion. So this is the next thing you have to do. And like I said, go into the masjid, staying around good people, so trustworthy
salat,
people.
The salat, dining in the masjid, then it's a way for them to also learn how to pray. Because one thing that you realize, when we first came onto the religion, like, we don't know how to pray, many of us don't know how to pray. So they're going through this phase of, they're learning how to pray, they're thinking Arabic's hard, I've got to recite in Arabic, you know, people are saying you've got to change your name, you've got to do everything. It's like, sometimes a lot of people feel like their identity is being ripped away from them. They're like, I come to the deen, all of a sudden,
everything.
Sometimes we're a bit too harsh on a new Muslim, so we're like, you can't really go around your mum and dad's no more. Be careful about what's going on. They got pictures on the wall. Yeah. Is the food halal? This and that. It's just pressure. Yeah, everything's coming in. So you're just feeling like, hold on, I didn't come to Islam to
sign up
everything.
For this. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. So what are the couple tips we can give them?
First and foremost, anyone who accepts Islam, or if you're a new Muslim, or even if you're someone who's watching this video who hasn't been practicing, or you're a born Muslim, first things first, I'll say, step by step, start getting on the deen. Don't try and do effing overnight. It won't work. You won't last. You won't last. You won't last. It's too difficult. You understand? Especially if we're living in the West. I'm not using that as an excuse, but obviously our environment doesn't suit what we believe. So that's another obstacle we have to face. So what I would say, slowly but surely, learn about the deen. First and foremost, start with that salah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's my opinion. If I'm mistaken, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me, but I'll tell you the salah.
Is important because that's the first thing that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will look at on the Day of Judgment is one salah.
The first thing Allah Ta'ala is going to ask you about a Yawm al-Qiyamah is your prayer. You understand? It's just like a person, if he goes to court and he hasn't got a solicitor, he hasn't got no court papers, he ain't got no preparation, he's going to go one day, he's finished. You meet Allah Ta'ala Yawm al-Qiyamah with no salah, you're in problems. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the difference between the believer and the disbeliever is the salah, it's the prayer. So we advise any single person watching this video, no matter how sinful you are, you could be an individual right now and you go raving, you smoke weed, you commit zina, you do every sin under the sun, establish your salah, no matter what you do.
That prayer is in your head. One thing that's important, a person has to realize, is that sometimes when you're going through these stages, the prayer is in your head. Mm-hmm. You're thinking to yourself, I should be praying. As soon as you get these thoughts, get up, make your wudu, pray. Mm. Pray, because just by having the thought of salah is guidance from you. Because how many people, they don't have thought, they don't think about praying, they don't think about trying to better themselves. You having this feeling, this vibe that you get, you know that this is guidance from your Lord, so you should act upon it.
No matter what you're, like I said, no matter what you're doing, you have to pray. This is a condition of you being a Muslim. It's one of the pillars of Islam. You know, this is one of the foundations. It's like if you saw a house without the roof, you wouldn't call it a house, it's not complete. Mm. Now you need to pray. This is one of your foundations. This is something what makes you a Muslim. Praying doesn't make you pious. Praying doesn't make you religious. Praying doesn't make you a righteous person. But praying makes you a Muslim. So you have to remember that, innit? So this is a condition amongst every single person who's watching this video who says they're Muslim, you've got to pray. This is not something that we can compromise with. You have to pray. It's wajib, compulsory. There's no difference of opinion. It's not sunnah, mustah. It's wajib, compulsory. So the first thing we will say is that, look, establish a salah. And slowly but surely, once you start establishing your salah on a regular basis, you know, you can move on to other things, you know, fasting here and there, going to circles, hanging around good companions, learning some surahs from the Quran, reading the Quran, listening to lectures.
One of the best ways would say to learn how to pray, if you don't know how to pray, is to attend the prayers at the mosque.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because by attending the prayers, even if you've got to look at the person next to you and follow his movements and
everything,
you're learning. And if you carry on doing this, gradually, after a month or two, you're going to know all the movements. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you know about two or three small surahs, and you're able to recite and you have the basics of the prayer.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're praying.
No doubt.
Alhamdulillah.
No doubt.
So it's important that if a person, don't just sit at home saying, I don't know how to pray, how should I pray? Go to your local masjid and take part in the daily prayer. So maybe you can't make Maghrib or Isha, but the best thing to do is try to go to Dhuhr prayer and Asr, because they're the times you're going to catch the people there, and it's going to be like in the daytime where it's going to be easier for yourself and be around the people.
No doubt. At the end of the day, like what Musa was saying, that at the end of the day, going to the masjid is always going to be a bonus for you. It's always going to make things easier for you. It's going to benefit you. And obviously, when you're around other Muslims, it's going to be a means of encouragement for you, and it's going to be able to be a means for you to understand things better. So like what the brother said, we advise the brothers or sisters, go to the masjid, hang around other Muslims, and this will be a means to help you get closer to Allah as well.
Naam, so okay, now the person, okay, there's another, now some of the other things that people might deal with, that they take shahada, they're Muslim, like I was saying before, and now they're getting a lot of pressures of their family not accepting them. You know, there's so many things that happen to a new Muslim, because at the beginning everyone hugs you, mashallah brother, mashallah sister, but after a couple of weeks sometimes you feel like the people, they left you, they dropped you out, and you're in it by yourself. But a person's got to really understand that when they took shahada, they were in it by themselves.
No doubt.
They done it to benefit themselves. And yeah, it's good to have Muslim brothers and sisters around you, helping you and benefit you. But this is not them help you, they benefit you, and they make things easy for you, alhamdulillah. If they don't, then you still got to really strive to find those, to find those people that are willing to help you, and those things that are in your community that can, you know what I mean?
We have to remember at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, do you think you're going to say you believe and you're not going to be tested? No shadow of a doubt, your Islam is going to be tested. Just like if you got a new job, if you got promotion, your management, they're going to test you. They're going to see that you're up for the role. They're going to see that you're committed. Just like in Islam, Allah Ta'ala is going to test you. He's going to put you through trials and tribulations, and he's going to see if you can bear with it. And remember, Allah Ta'ala has made it clear, he will never put a burden on a soul that a soul can't bear. So remember, at the end of the day, if you're being tested, because it shows that Allah Ta'ala loves you. And another thing you have to remember as well, that at the end of the day, what's going to come at the end of the test? Not a promotion, not £10,000, 100 grand, a house. Jannah, where you live for eternity, where everything that your brain, anything that you can imagine will be there, anything that you dream of will be there. And remember, we only die once. So if you're made it into Jannah, you'll be there forever. So at the end of the day, this test is worth it. Another statement, we have to remember the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before we come to the end now, he said that this earth is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Why is this? Because obviously we know the non-Muslims can do whatever they want, and we as Muslims, we can't. We've got rules and regulations. We've got so many things that we can do, and there's so many things that we can't do. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, and for my non-Muslim viewers who are watching this, who are interested in Islam, you have to remember, do you want the best of both worlds? What would you rather have? A temporary life here where you're going through rules and regulations, and Allah Ta'ala is telling you to stay away from things for a reason, because it's not like Allah is telling us to stay away from things for what's going to be good for us. He's telling us to stay away from things that are going to be harmful for us, and then after that be admitted into Jannah. So we have to think, what do we want in life? If you understand your purpose of life, and like I said, you want to become a Muslim based on yaqeen, certainty, then you know that Allah Ta'ala wants good for you, and you know that at the end of the tunnel there is life.
No, I'm sorry. So the main focus we're trying to get out of it, because obviously what we've been getting online and other than that, is that people have a lot of doubts, you know, coming into Islam, feeling like they're going to be overburdened and feeling like there's so much things that they got to take on before taking shahada. And what we're saying to them is that you don't have to take on everything at once. Some things that you have to straight away, salah, you got to pray, because after bearing witness that there's nobody worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the next thing for you to these two go hand in hand. So you got to pray. And there's many things that you got to believe in and you have to try your best to act upon. But obviously for the sisters, we know they have different tests, like a lot of women that take shahada, they start thinking, I have to wear hijab, I have to cover my hair, I have to put on this. But we're saying all of these things you would like and you would love, once you understand what you've come into understanding the religion, they'll come after.
Everything comes in time, innit? It's not a rush thing. Like I said, it's obviously it's not something that you're gonna do temporary. It's something that you're gonna do for the eternity, innit? Inshallah, until you die, innit? Until that mold comes to you. You understand? So at the end of the day, you take it slowly but surely. And like the brother said, you establish a salah and you start learning things. Slowly, and you start adapting to your new way of life.
Because you know there's a trick. Let me give an example. When it comes to anything in life, when it comes to things in life that we take on, whether a person likes a certain football club or something like that, he might say, I don't like the colour they're wearing the football kit. I don't like that player. As soon as the person starts to support the team, all of a sudden, example, a person supports one football club, he hates a player that plays from another club. As soon as that player joins his club, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
It's because he's already gained that that connection with that club. So whatever is in it, he learns to love, he learns to accept. But what Shaitan does with Islam, he doesn't allow you to see things clear like that. He makes you think like, but you're not going to like this, you're not going to like that. But in reality, once you gain that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you gain that love for Allah, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks for you will come easy to you and you'll be able to establish. But like the brother was saying before, it's going to take steps, gradual steps, slow steps. And don't let the pressure of the Muslims when you take Shahada overcome you, because we're your brothers and sisters. When you take Shahada, we're so happy for you. Sometimes we forget the pressures that you're under. So we're like, yeah, what name do you want to have? And what's your name? He tells you, my name's Eric. You're like, nah, leave that alone, man. You need to be called Abdul Haq. You need to be. So there's a lot of pressures that we put on them. We're trying to pull them here and there. And we forget that sometimes it's a daunting step for the person because they've got family issues. They got to go back home and tell mom and dad that, you know, I was brought up as a Christian. I was brought up as a Hindu. I was brought up as that. And they got to say, you know what, I'm breaking ties with this. And it's not easy.
At the end of the day, Islam is based on faith and knowledge. So once you start seeking knowledge, then surely but surely you're going to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And then things, like I said, your iman will start to grow. And once your iman starts to grow, you start looking at things from a complete different light. And then surely but surely you start to change. On the ending note, I wanted to say that another thing, when someone takes shahada, I know a lot of people ask me this question, do I have to go to the mosque to take shahada? Do I have to be in around particular people? No, you don't. You understand? Obviously, you need some witnesses. You need two witnesses, and just let some. You can take a shahada anywhere. You don't need to go to the mosque. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you know what? I want to become Muslim, but I don't really feel comfortable going to the mosque." You don't have to go to the mosque. You could take a shahada with anyone, inshallah. As long as they are Muslim who understands tawheed and what have you, then you could take a shahada with them. And another thing, you don't need to go and take like a. It's not like a christening or a ceremony or anything when you take a shahada. It's just a testimony, bearing witness. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Solely Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. So that's it. It's nothing difficult. So we hope this is something that is a means that can benefit the people who are looking into Islam and who want to take their shahada. Inshallah ta'ala, this can be a little glimpse.
Wants to take shahada, they don't have to get thrown into no bathtub, no dance, no party ceremony, nothing like that.
It's just as long as you understand
and understanding what
you're
saying,
the condition, understand the testimony of faith. And then you understand the five pillars of Islam, you take shahada, finish. Khalas, you're Muslim. It's easy. Allah Ta'ala made this easy. You don't need to go to no special imam or some special person hierarchy and go and take a shahada. You can take a shahada of any Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala made it easy. So we hope, inshallah ta'ala, this was something that can be a benefit for you and something that you can get a better understanding. Also, if there's anything that we missed or we will, that we missed out, we'll put in the description of the video. Also, if there's any non-Muslims, because alhamdulillah, we know a lot of non-Muslims watch our videos, and if there are any questions or anything that you want to discuss with us, feel free to send us an email and we'll try our best, inshallah ta'ala, to respond to you and clear up your misconceptions or anything that you didn't understand.
Yeah, that's it, man. So next time we catch you again on D-Check next week. Salaamu alaikum rahmatullah.